Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 27 through 32. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You find this story, this passage of Scripture, in three of the four Gospels. You find it in Matthew, Mark, and here in Luke. It seems like years ago, I was trying to think, I may have read these accounts of the Lord's calling this man to follow him and thought it was talking about two different people. In Matthew, in the Matthew Gospel, Matthew uses his name. In Mark and Luke, the name Levi is used. And I just had something in my mind that told me years ago I may have seen that as referring to two different people. But in looking at these three scriptures, I've come to the conclusion I feel that we're probably talking about the same person, two different names. Matthew and Levi are connected together as one in the same. And when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, when you look at all three records, they're in the exact same passage of Scripture. They're in the exact same historical place in the Gospels, in all three Gospels. They are almost exactly the same and similar in wording. After their call to follow the Lord, on very quick heels of that, you find the Lord choosing the 12 apostles. In chapter 6 here of Luke, the 12 apostles are chosen and their names are given in verse 12 through 16. And the order that the apostles are given here, similar to the order in which they were called. And when you look at these three passages of Scripture, when they are found and when they are found named in the list of the 12 apostles, they coincide about the same order. As they were called, they're found in the identifying of the 12 apostles. So I think the Matthew that is found in Matthew's gospel and the Levi that is found in Mark and Luke is one and the same, talking about the same individual. And I want you to notice, first of all, the call of this Levi or Matthew. I want you to notice the call. The call of the Lord is found in those two red lettered words. Follow me. That's the call. The Lord is saying to Levi, follow me. Disciple. Come in behind. Come along with me. Follow. And he says, follow me. He wants us to know what to do. He's calling us to follow. And he's identifying whom we should follow. That's Jesus. And he calls Levi to follow him. And in Matthew 9:9 and Mark 2:14, all three places, you find those same two words put forth to the main subject in the passage of Scripture, where the Lord said to them, follow me. In Matthew chapter 4, we won't turn there, we find the calling of Peter, James, and John. The call of Peter, James, and John, and mixed in there amongst those three, you find Andrew. And in the Lord's calling, these four, these three men, Peter, James, and John, he uses the same simple two words, follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, but follow me. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said for his disciples to take up their cross. Take up their cross and follow me. Simple instructions. It's a simple call. He called Levi, he called Peter, James, and John, he called those in Matthew chapter 16 simply to follow him. To follow him. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 22, we encounter the excuse makers. Those who offered excuses for why they would not follow Jesus Christ. And in the ending of that conversation with those two in particular, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. I think he was speaking about the dead spiritually. Let the lost bury the lost. Let the dead bury the dead. But to those who made excuses in Matthew chapter 8, he said those same two words. Follow me. Follow me. In Luke chapter 18, verse 22, Luke 18, verse 22, we find the story of the rich young ruler who was grieved when the Lord told him to sell all that he had if he wanted to be his disciple. And he went away grievous. He went away grieved because he had so much. He couldn't imagine giving it away. But the Lord told the rich young ruler there in Luke chapter 18, around verse number 22, sell all that you have. And then what two words did he speak? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. So the call upon Levi in this passage of Scripture, or Matthew, whichever the case may be, is to follow him. I personally believe and seem to understand that, like Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and those others that were called particularly to be apostles, looks like Levi probably had heard the preaching of John and had been prepared for the Lord's coming at this time, had been prepared to hear the Lord say, follow me. Follow me. And that's the call that is upon all of our lives this evening. It's not complicated. The Lord simply whispers, follow me, follow me. When the Lord saved our souls, he spoke into our hearts those words, follow me, follow me. When the Lord placed within our hearts a desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to identify with Jesus Christ, he spoke those same words, follow me, follow me. Do you remember hearing those words? Can you remember that far back? When the Lord saved your soul, granted you repentance and faith to believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you identified yourself with him, you became a disciple. You became a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the call from the Lord Jesus Christ to Levi. Simply follow me. It's a lifetime call. It's a ceaseless, endless call. It's a call in all kinds of weather, in all kinds of circumstances, in all kinds of difficulties, in all kinds of afflictions, all kinds of sunshine, all kinds of blessing. He's called us to follow him. But I want you to notice, next of all, in this passage of Scripture, not just the call, but I want you to notice the commitment. The commitment. Jesus said in verse number 27, follow me. That's all he asked. He didn't rope and tie. He didn't try to twist arms. He just came by where Levi was collecting those taxes. And he spoke those words, follow me. We saw the call, but notice the commitment in verse number 28. And he, Levi, he left all, rose up, and followed him. He committed himself to hearing the call of discipleship. He committed himself to obey the call of Christ for him to follow him. And he left all. He left all. He was in some kind of a building, some kind of an office, some kind of a booth, some would say. And his job was collecting taxes for the Roman government. And it was quite a lucrative job, because he was to collect the taxes due to Rome. And publicans were at liberty to get a little extra, to charge a little extra and line their pockets. And however he is set up, however he's situated, however he's collecting these, accounting for these, putting them in cash drawers or putting them in bags or however he's dealing with these funds, he leaves it all. That's commitment. That's his commitment of response to the call of the Lord. We sometimes talk about our being disciples of Christ, our believing in Jesus Christ, our being followers of Jesus Christ. But has it ever been able to be said about us that we've left all for Jesus? What have you ever left for Jesus? What have I ever sacrificed? What have I ever left behind for the sake of Jesus? Levi left all. He left his job. He left his position. He left all the attachments that were a part of his doing his job. He left the prominence of having that job and that responsibility. He left all his possessions to become a follower of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, one day in speaking to Jesus Christ, said, "Lord, we've left all." And he meant it. He wasn't exaggerating. Those apostles and those early disciples of Jesus Christ, when he said, "Follow me," they left it all. Left it all. Can you imagine getting up, going out from this place, leaving this place, leaving your car, leaving your home, going off to do the work of the Lord, to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now you may want to jump up on the back of the pew and say, "Wait a minute, he's not asking us to do that. I know he's not asking us to do that. I'm asking you. Have you ever given all? Have you given up anything to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Has it cost you anything to follow him?" And I ask you, can you imagine just walking out the doors any given day, walking out the doors of your home, never to look back again, to go and serve Jesus Christ? Can you imagine that? Well, Levi didn't imagine it. He did it. Amen. He left all. Says that he left all. He rose up. He was sitting in a chair or seated on the ground or at a desk collecting those taxes. And when the Lord said, "Follow me," he left it all. He got up and began to move and follow Jesus Christ. He left all, he rose up, and he followed. Verse 28 tells us that. Matthew 9:9's record tells us that. Mark's 2:14 record tells us that. We see the call. We see the commitment. But I want you to notice now the convincing. The convincing. You have a clue, the slightest clue, what I mean when I ask you to look for the convincing. Well, here, Levi was a tax collector. He was a publican. Pretty disliked. Not the most popular person around. Even today, people don't like to see the tax man coming. Nothing can strike fear and terror into an American's heart like those three letters, IRS. He heard the call of the Lord, and he followed the Lord. And what I believe you see happening here when I say, let's notice now the convincing, he immediately begins to convince his fellow publicans, his fellow sinners. He immediately begins to convince all those that knew him that something had happened to him. Something had changed about him. He had heard the Lord say, "Follow him." He had left all. He rose up, and he was now a follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe he immediately seeks to convince all of his friends there's something different about him. Something different about him. Something different about me. Verse number 28, he left all, rose up, and followed him. There it is. He left all, rose up, and followed him. It's after that that we read in verse number 29, "And Levi made Jesus a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Follow me. He commits himself and becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. And he immediately has a meal in his house, invites all of his publican friends and all of the old crowd. And I believe he seeks out to convince them he's now a follower of Jesus Christ. This one who's in our midst is Lord, is Jesus. He's my Savior. In Matthew's record, chapter 9, verse 10, the expression is, many publicans and sinners. This verse says there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. In Matthew's record, there were many publicans and sinners that came. And it tells us to eat or to be with him and his disciples. They had come away from the world to meet with Jesus, to meet with the disciples of this one named Jesus. And in the midst, the host, the one who put the meal on, whose home they were meeting, in the midst of all these disciples that the publicans and sinners came to see and to meet in relationship to Jesus Christ, was one named Levi, or this one named Matthew. He made a great effort to be identified with Christ. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't bashful or shy. It didn't matter what he used to be, looked down upon and shunned and maybe despised by society because of his job and career choice. It didn't matter what he was. He wanted everybody to know what he is now. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ. In this fifth chapter of Luke, verse 18 through 24, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture because it impresses upon me and impresses upon us this thought of trying to convince people that you know Jesus, trying to convince people of their need of Jesus. I made up a list of many references, wrote them down on a piece of paper. And the thought in all of those verses that I wrote down was getting men to Christ. Getting men to Christ. And Luke hears the Lord say, follow me. He wants to immediately be identified with Christ. He wants everybody to know that Jesus is his Savior and he is a follower of Jesus Christ. And he wants to get his friends. He wants to get his acquaintances. He wants to get those of his social circle in contact with Jesus Christ. And this obviously must have cost significant expense. There was a great company, a great number of publicans and sinners that sat down with Levi and Jesus and his disciples. And over here in these verses, with beginning with verse number 18, it says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, the crowds and the throngs, they're carrying a bed. They're carrying a guy on a pallet. There's four of them, we're told in another passage of Scripture. There's four of them carrying this adult male, trying to get him to Jesus. And you're not going to get through a crowd. You're not going to get through the press and the pressure of this mob scene. Four people carrying a pallet with a guy stretched out on it. But they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, notice it says, when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of these four men, maybe in connection with the paralyzed one, maybe their means he saw all five of their faiths. But we know for sure he saw the faith of these four men. They had to get this crippled man to Jesus. Whatever means it took, however it was required to get done, they had to get this man to Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." So this is why we see indication that the four men that carried this man had faith, and the one being carried had faith. Because in order for Jesus to forgive this individual of their sins, they had to have faith. Someone couldn't have it for them. The individual had to have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus sees the faith of all these men, the four carrying and the one crippled. And he says to the crippled man, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Rather is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.' But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house.'" What is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? What's easier? Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." So this man had to have faith. This man had to have believed in Jesus Christ. They had to believe in his ability to heal, in order his ability to raise him. So the Lord says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Well, the scribes and the Pharisees take issue with it, and the Lord says, "Well, which is easier? Your sins are forgiven you, rise up and walk." Well, let's just make it visible. Let's make it very plain. "Okay, guy, rise up and walk. Go home." He got up because he had been forgiven. He got up because he'd been healed. He got up because he had faith in Jesus Christ. He could have got up and would have got up and walked home because of his great faith. But I've been thinking about that thought, getting men to Christ, convincing men that we know Christ, convincing somebody that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. What measure are we willing to go to make it plain? What measure are we willing to make and take and follow to get men to Christ? They went to all the trouble, all the expense of making the pallet, getting the man loaded, traveling however far they had to travel to where Jesus was meeting. Too many people for them to go through the front door to get to Jesus that way. They got this guy up on the roof, and it may have been a flat roof. It certainly wasn't a steep roof that, like you find in Ohio. But they got him up on the roof, and they began to disassemble the roof in the proximity of where Jesus was so they could get this man to Christ. We see this Levi becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, leaving all, rising up, and following Christ. And then trying to convince all of his old crowd, trying to convince all of his buddies, partners in crime, that something had happened to him, something had changed in him. And so he makes a great feast in his own house where Jesus would be welcomed in a great company of not good people, righteous people, but a great company of sinners were brought there in the midst to be convinced that Jesus had made a difference in Levi's life, and that Jesus could make a difference in their life. He went out to convince them. And in verse 30 and 32, 30 through 32, it says, "But their scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answering said unto them, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Amen. I came not to call the righteous.'" He's kind of saying, "I didn't come for any of you, because you're self-righteous. "I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance." Amen. "Follow me." He got up. He left it all. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. He had this great supper to convince all of the old crowd that something had happened, something was different about him, that he was now a follower of Jesus Christ. And as all of this spectacle goes on, people are seeing all around the place, the religious crowd, everybody on the outside who's not on the inside with Jesus and Levi, they're all seeing Jesus eating with Levi and Jesus eating and communing with sinners and publicans. And through all of that, Jesus Christ is being preached and Jesus Christ is being lifted up and Jesus Christ is being laid forth as the one who came to seek and to save those that are lost. So there's the call. There's the commitment. There's the convincing. The steps that Levi went through to show he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't want to be identified with the old crowd, but with Jesus. I want you to consider four questions. What have you left? Be honest. What have you left for Jesus? How have you risen up from your life, from your situation, from your comfort zone? How have you risen up to follow Jesus Christ? How have you evidenced you're a follower of Jesus Christ? And here's the most sobering. I say with all assurance, the most convicting question of all. Who have you brought to Jesus? Who have you brought? Who have I brought lately? Who have we brought to meet Jesus? Let's stand together. I have a verse of song.